Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is Reception Perception, the show. James Coe and Matt Harmon.
DJ Moore in that big trade, swapping the number one overall pick with Chicago, ends up as a Chicago Bear now. And my immediate reaction to that was DJ Moore, Darnell Mooney, and Chase Claypool. I think that's a really interesting trio. You add Cole Kmet into that mix as well. And boy, I tell you what, man, Justin Fields, all of a sudden, you add a legit number one wide receiver into that mix. That's a really interesting pass catching group. I'm not saying it's the best, but Matt, you add a player of DJ Moore's caliber, and everyone else slides into a spot that I think is a little bit more suited to their skill sets. And yeah, everything starts to fit just a little bit more.
I agree with you. I don't know that I would say this is like one of the best wide receiver trios in the NFL. I think there are still, right. I think there are still a lot of questions about Chase Claypool. There's probably like how good, I think Darnell Mooney's probably a really good three and maybe a passable number two. And DJ Moore, I think, has leveled off into being a very good, not elite, not great number one receiver. I know he's like a favorite of the fantasy community. And I like
God,
his reception.
Jesus.
age-adjusted production zealots. It's the age-adjusted production zealots. Like, did you know DJ Moore is still only 25 years old? Like, I don't give a shit if he's 25 years old. Like, just tell me how he plays. Like, who cares? The age-adjusted production. I get it as a collegiate scouting thing. That's fine. When he's like 6-5 years in the NFL, enough already with telling me how old he is. Juju's still like 26 or whatever, and he's been the same damn player since he was like 22 years old. Who cares? Funny. That's like that's the fantasy thing. I get that. But I'll tell you what though, no matter how, like, I'm not sure how great this receiver core is, it's no longer an embarrassment, which is what at the Bears have run out the last few years. I mean, DJ Moore specifically, again, I think he's probably somewhere between, like, I do at some point want to put on the website like my list of real life ranking NFL receivers. That's maybe a project for later on this summer after right. At some point I complete a cross country move, whatever. Just a little thing,
and chart go. Another 50 plus receivers. Yeah, sure. Go ahead. I'm sure you've got plenty of time.
Got plenty of time. After I chart the 50 plus receivers and move across the country, I'll have just so much time on my hands because you know, then the NFL season will be about to start. So totally a lot of time on the hands.
Good.
But I think he's probably somewhere between wide receiver 17, 18, 19, 20 in terms of like real life NFL rankings, DJ Moore, if you sat down and did it. But he is, like you said, a verifiable number one receiver. And I do think what's interesting for Chicago to break down his fit with Justin Fields. Like, yeah, again, I don't think he's, Reception Perception certainly does not think as highly of DJ Moore, you know, like 71% success rate versus man this past year. I think his best season was somewhere around like 72, 73%. That's not at like the elite tier that AJ Brown was reaching prior to being traded from the Titans, or Stephon Diggs was being traded or was reaching prior to being traded right. from the Vikings. But again, it is very good. And I think that he makes a really interesting, makes an interesting number one receiver there because he can fill a variety of different roles. I think he has shown at times to be a good vertical X receiver. Again, can beat press coverage, can beat man coverage on the outside. But I also love the idea of him potentially being like an off-ball flanker or even moving into the slot at certain points because he can beat zone coverage, 81.7% success rate versus zone last year. Really good on the slant route. He's good on some of those in-breaking routes as well. all in all, like, I think the thing that he's kind of like been meat left on the bone with DJ Moore the last few years is he's been kind of not able to shine as an in-space player. I noted this in his reception perception profile, which again is for free on the site right now if you want to check it out. He just was never really put in space the last few years in the Matt Rhule era Panthers. But like when Norv Turner and the boys drafted him originally, he was like a guy that could really get into to open space and break tackles and maybe in more of like a, you know, Packers offshoot Luke Getsy type of offense. Maybe he gets into space a little bit more with this Bears team.
This is a guy that was great on the slant, and I think we all knew that, right? 84.4% success rate on slant routes last year. Matt, when I look at the chart for him that you just put out here, again, go to the website receptionperception.com, I was surprised by his ability over the top. 62.7% success rate on the nines, 70% success rate on corners, and when you combine his nines and corners together, that made up 26% of his total routes. So we're talking nearly a third of his, or a quarter of his routes, rather, were deep shots and was pretty darn good in that area. So that's an area to me that I was a little bit surprised by. And again, you talk about, you know, the fake news and the fake stats and all those things. You know, he didn't make a lot of plays downfield. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think the tape shows you that if he could get a quarterback, that could get him some throws, he might actually make those plays over the top.
Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm really intrigued by him as a vertical threat with Justin Fields, because Justin Fields, first and foremost, is a big game hunter. Like, he wants to push the ball down the field. He throws bombs, and, you know, like, he's just never really had a legit vertical X receiver, because by the time he got there, you know, things were weird with Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson's best 2 years were 19 and 20 with the Chicago Bears. Like, that never really came to fruition. But DJ Moore, like, I think another thing that gets really underrated with him, you mentioned the vertical route running. A ton of his routes were vertical routes last year, but he has, you know, Baker Mayfield and all these guys. Give me a break. Remember that whip that PJ Walker threw to him in that overtime game against the Atlanta Falcons, where he like basically outran the entire defense, and then PJ Walker outthrew the entire defense. And it's the Falcons, I get it. But still, one thing that is underrated with DJ Moore is like his contested catch game has actually been a big strength as well. So he's had a 75% contested catch rate. That was this past season. That's actually the lowest mark of his entire career, which is really saying something, because 75% is a damn good number in a contested catch result. He actually still owns the second best contested catch season in 2019 in the entire reception perception database. So he really brings a lot to the table here. And again, I'm most curious about him as like, where's he going to play? Is he going to be that vertical X receiver where him and, you know, Justin Fields are just connected on bombs? He's winning 50-50 balls downfield, or are they going to get him kind of in pre-snap motion a little bit and get him after the catch? Like, he's just real. This is why, again, he's not an elite player, but he's just really, really solid in all phases. By the way, he's another one of these guys that was like kind of a mess as a route runner his first year. Like, he was just really, really raw as like a press man coverage route runner, but he's gotten really consistently better to being a very quality, good player as a route runner the last couple of years, last 3 years here, really.
So what I like about his profile is you talk about his versatility. So we talk about the success on the slant route, you know, short area. Okay, great. Then, and again, the numbers would show, the reception perception numbers would show, the guy's pretty effective over the top as well on the nines and corners. Also really good on the dig route. 76.6% success rate on the dig route, with 20% of his routes coming on the dig alone. Right. So that's an intermediate area of the field where I think he can thrive as well. So again, short, intermediate, deep. This is a guy that has certain weapons at on every area of the field, that's really good. And that's why, you know, we say, hey, listen, DJ Moore, again, I don't think he's an elite guy. And I think a lot of the numbers would say he's not an elite guy. Certainly the reception perception numbers would say he's not in in the elite group, but he's in the very good group, you know? Mm-hmm. And he, I think, again, projects as a pretty good X. And if you want to move him as a, you know, movable chess piece, as you mentioned, I think that'd be a really good idea. But Darnell Mooney certainly adds a lot of speed into that mix as well. I don't know what Chase Claypool is yet, but I know he's a big body. He can also move. But so basically what I'm saying is there's a lot of speed on the field. And I tell you what, that's really good. I don't care what these guys can do. If there's a coach that could figure out how to work with this speed, I think that makes the Chicago Bears offense pretty dangerous again. And you add, of course, Justin Fields, his own speed into that mix as well.
Yeah. I'm just looking at it right now, 'cause I kind of started this early, you know, look at like my real life wide receiver rankings and I might want to put on the site. I had him in tier two, which is like, the very top of tier three, which is very good. Number one wide receiver. I had him right at like wide receiver 21, kind of weighing him against DeAndre Hopkins and Devontae Smith, who are, I think, in the next tier up. So I think I have him kind of really right there with those guys who right now like are Garrett Wilson and Drake London and Chris Olave, who I think are very good number one receivers, but they have room to jump. I think DJ Moore, again, is kind of leveled off as a very good number one receiver.
I agree. Interesting scenario there in Chicago. People were quick to hate on Claypool when I threw Claypool into that trio mix. But I'll just say, look, as a number three, I'll buy as a number three. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you're relying on him as like a, you know, as your number two on a two wide receiver set, okay, I get it. Limitations, you know, all those kind of things. But he, again, big body, he can move, he's got some speed. And I think if the right coaching staff can figure it out, he's at least a movable chess piece. And offenses always want to have those guys. They always mm-hmm. want to have those guys. And I think that's why as a number three, Chase Claypool, again, is interesting to me. Let's see what the coaching staff can do.